welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate, and or you may give it to one of the ushers. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Again, please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. The topic for the Bible class at 3:30 this afternoon asks the question, why is the function of the local church to teach obedience? There will be a short deacons meeting today directly following this worship service. Also, the Bible, men's Bible study that is done monthly at the Victor Laurel residence has been moved now to the second Thursday of the month, which means the next Bible class, their Bible study, will be on July 13th at, I believe, 7 p.m. The quarterly deacons meeting will be rescheduled also to a week from tomorrow, July 10th at 6 p.m., and the deacons will meet at the church. Our scripture reading printed in your bulletin is from Psalm 33, and it's verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 532, God of Our Fathers. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 531, America the Beautiful.
Thank you.
Please stand now as we sing hymn number 529, My Country, 'Tis of Thee.
Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you with thanksgiving today because it is another day to worship you in spirit and in truth. We are glad that you instituted the Church of the Living God so that we together praise your name and focus at least once a week our mind and our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you allow us not only to serve this community of Morgan Hill and Gilroy and San Martin, but Father, we are able to broadcast over radio, able to broadcast over the internet, and able to tell others across the world that there is a Savior. There is someone who can change your life forever, and that is Jesus, our Lord. Father, in this Sunday, July the 2nd, here in the United States, we anticipate the celebration of July the 4th, the wonders of freedom that you brought to this land, the wonders of man who thought, those men thought clearly about the responsibility in their life to respect the life of others. And many of them have learned that from the Scripture. And from the very beginning, fathers, when we read the documents, we can see the word God all over the place. The same word that today is prohibited in a school and prohibited in the Congress is the word that was the foundation of our country. Father David said, blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah. And so, Father, we can say and testify today, you have blessed us. O God, return us to the simplicity of the very beginning. We'll take a big miracle to turn America around back to God. But, Father, you are a God of miracles. And we are your people. And as we learn today in Sunday school, help us to show Jesus to everyone who is in contact with us. We thank you, Lord, that we have missionaries across the world. We have Fred and Carol Lewis in Oregon now as they wait for total recuperation of their bodies. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. And Father, we're so happy that Giovanni will be here the coming Sunday. Martha Poretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And Father, I got in touch with them and they told me about the salvation of this fellow. Out of 36, one. And after leaving the rehabilitation center, he got into a church and got baptized. Father, thank you for that victory. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy. for the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California, and for Daniel and Miriam Lacey as Daniel minister in the races. And Father, thank you for his work last week and the work of the coming week in the city of San Jose. Father, we are grateful that you provide for our expenses and you provide through our people who are responsible and who give because they love you. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to John. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 628. We will be reading John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, You shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the liberty and freedom we enjoy as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made us free and we are no longer slaves of sin. Father, at this time of the year, we celebrate the founding of our nation. The fathers of our country correctly warned that if the supports of biblical Christianity and morality were removed, the nation would come to ruin. We pray, Father, that there would be national repentance, and we would once again as a nation turn to you and acknowledge that you are the author of liberty, great God our King. We pray now, Father, for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the good news that is found in the Scripture. We pray, Father, that those listening here in on the radio and internet and tape and CD will be edified by the exposition of your word, and Father, that if there be any that do not know you, that they would also come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, my brother Joe, and I just want to two things to say before we go into the scripture this morning. First, that we are blessed to have the Doolittle family with us. Once again, we enjoy Wednesday night. I think it was one of the largest Wednesday night we have for a long time. And that was good. And now the whole family with us, and we are glad that they take the opportunity to be with us. And I assume this coming week you people leave for Idaho. And hopefully one day they will leave Idaho and come back here, all right? And I want to remind you, Missionary Dante and Maruja tonight, they're going to present, Dr. Dante is going to present to us his work. He's a dentist working in the Amazon River with the natives. Out of his own money and his own cost, he goes and work in the entire area. There will be a film from the Amazon in Iquitos. And so that you have an idea what God puts in the hearts of people and how God leads people to do works that you and I will not understand. But those people cannot be reached otherwise. So I hope you're here tonight. It will be at 5 p.m. Please turn your Bible to John Gospel in chapter 8. When our calendar comes around July 4, we all remember Independence Day, which for us is a synonymous word with freedom. We are free. I never forgot my experience when my in-laws came from Argentina's, my Raquel's older sister who now lives here for a long time, and her husband visiting to see if they would like to come. He's Italian. So at that time, the immigration laws, we provide for Italians to come to the country. And we were walking in the city of Friedman, and a police car turned around. And he stopped. And he said, Gabriel. And I said, what happened? He said, police. I said, well, don't worry. Oh, you have to stop. And that was Argentina at the time where he lives. The police come around, you stop, and the police will do whatever they please with you. Today, they live and enjoy this country as never before. So we have no idea, ladies and gentlemen, we have no idea how free are we. No idea. No idea how free are we. I was in Panama, in the jungle, and in the cities, and in a place going 600 miles across the native people, and there is no law. So we are extremely free. Now, God's word, that's why we are here this morning, speak of two kinds of freedom. And God deals with those kinds of freedom entirely different of what we are doing. And I want to show it to you. The first is civil liberty. The liberty, they say, I'm a citizen of this country and I have to be free. Well, Israel became a country and Mount Sinai, when they received the law, there were people before that. Then after Mount Sinai, when they had a constitution, and their president, Moses, who was also the judicial house, then became a nation. And God gave them a law. And I want to show you the law. You can't believe it. But that's how they prosper. They follow that law, the civil law. And then there is another freedom, which is called a spiritual liberty. And we're going to deal with those two this morning. And I hope we'll learn something. Especially if you're still without that freedom of your heart, that God will present it in your heart, the one who can make you free. Let's work together. Civil liberty. There were three things in Israel very important for the citizens of their country. First, their personal liberty. Move your Bible to the second book of the Bible in Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 and 2, page 49, if you are using the Bible that is in the pew. And if you are listening and you need a Bible like that, we will send it to you free of charge. All right, Exodus chapter 21, verse 1 and 2. This is called personal liberty. The Bible said, now these are the judgments which you shall set before them. God talking to Moses. If you buy a Hebrew servant, which was legal under the Jewish law, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seven, he shall go out free and pay nothing. You hear that? You see that? Israel operate with a law that he can, a family can have a servant. But at the 7 years, you own nothing. That man is free. And operate in that way, and the New Testament was in that way, and you remember the letter that Paul sent about Onesimus, how he need to be received and set free, and nobody complained. There was a law, but the only country in the world at that time that will set free and a slave is Israel, because God said at the 7 year that person is absolutely free, and Israel followed the law and prospered. Personal liberty. Today we have a code and all kinds of things here on personal liberty. But that was in Israel how they handled personal liberty. Now there was also national liberty. If you move your Bible to the next book is the book of Leviticus, chapter 25 and verse 10, page 82. Leviticus chapter 25. In verse 10, page 82, there you have there national liberty. And you shall consecrate the 50th year. That's a word that you know in the New Testament as the word Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. All right. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty through all the land. This is national liberty. Through all the land, to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possessions, and each of you shall return to his family. Bank America, Washington Bank, and all these banks will be broke today if they follow this law. There was no usury. There was no, I'm going to get you for your lifetime. You can have a loan from somebody. By the year 50, that loan was canceled. You can have a loan, and you can obey, and the guy take your property. But by the year 50, that property come back to you. You said, Israel, why? They will be broke. No, Israel was very rich. Extremely rich. God set a rule that mankind, known the heart of mankind, that you want more and more and more, and you want to squeeze somebody who owes you something until he die. God knew the heart of man, and he said, okay, you can borrow money, and you can be the one who lend the money, but I have news for you. If that guy can obey after 50 years, goodbye, he owes you nothing. The Israel came, went broke? No, the country has more money than any other country in the world. What a system. You say it's crazy, but that's the way God does. You know, remember what Isaiah said, his ways are not our ways, and it's so different. God knows the heart of man. And these people, the Israelites, they buy wood from the Lebanon. They made deals with Egypt. Remember in Solomon's time? They were the glory. They have the law to protect themselves from usury, from extortion between themselves. The national liberty law. And then they have a law of political liberty, of which they have nothing to do about it, but God has everything. Political liberty. Will you go to Isaiah 14 and verse 25, page 417. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 25, page 417. This is political liberty, of which they have nothing to do, have to do everything with God. Look at what the Bible says. That I will break the Assyrians. God is prophesying what he's going to do. I'm glad Ramil is not here. With the Assyrians. And Ramsay is not here. But Ramil is listening from Germany. He already sent me an email telling me how sad it is that I lose the game. All right. So that's what I said, Ramil, here. God said this, I will break the Assyrians in my hand, and on my mountains, tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall be removed from them, and his burden removed from their shoulders. Who was the leader of the political liberty of Israel? God. God. They were trusting in that prophecy of God where their land is going to be protected. Their political leader actually was God, the one that we want to remove today. The one that we said we cannot mention God in the Congress. This is the one that brought and protect Israel. Political leader was in the hands of God. So we have personal liberty, a remarkable liberty. At 6 years, all the citizens, they can serve each other, but at the 7 year, they were free. We have national liberty. At the 50 years, our debts and possessions were canceled, and everything belonged to each other in peace, and nobody do extortion to anybody. And then political liberty, trust in God. Even though circumstances will be rough on Israel, the Assyrians will come down. God said, I take care of them. You don't have to work. So the Bible talks about liberties, but it talks in God's way. But because you are a human being and you are made of a spirit, soul, and body, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, God talks about a spiritual liberty. And I want to deal with that. Where do you find a spiritual liberty? It is found in truth. Go back to John 8 and verse 32, the passage that our brother is reading. A spiritual liberty is found in truth. The Bible said in John 8 and in verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those words were taken by a general called Artigas in South America, and he liberated the country of Uruguay. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now the question is, what is truth? We talked today in Sunday school. What is truth? Let's go to John. You're in John 8. Move your Bible to John 17 and verse 17. Here's what the Bible says. What is truth? The Bible says in John 17:17, page 635, the Bible says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And I was explaining to the class what I want to explain to you. When you write word in the original language of the Bible, the Koine Greek, you can write logos, which is a spoken word, somebody alive speaking, or you can write rema, which in Castilian Spanish means a punch of paper. When you receive the newspaper at my home, we'll say, or we receive the rema, the written word. And this is the word used here in John 17:17. Your word, your written word is truth. That's why Satan fights so much the Bible. Because the written word, the Bible that you and I have, is truth. Also, the Bible mentioned another parallel to truth. You are in John 17. Move your Bible to John chapter 14. And look with me in verse 6. Jesus said, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. And look at what he says. I am the way, that's clear, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you have the word as truth, and Jesus as truth. When you have the word of God, and you read the word of God, it is obvious, as we read today, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, that as this man John writes in the year 129 a letter to the church, he wants to introduce Christ. And he introduced Christ as divine. The pre-existence of Christ. He is divine. And you learn that from the Word of God. You don't learn that from the Mercury newspaper in San Jose. Actually, they don't know that. And we feel sorry about it. That's what we have the church. To open up our airways so that people know that as you read the Bible, you find truth in the Bible, and the Bible will lead you to Christ, which is also truth. And today's lesson was so great in Sunday school in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, that John said, there is no darkness at all in Jesus. Once you know Jesus, He's light. He said in 1 John 1, 5, and there's no darkness at all in Him. You can look to Jesus from every corner, and you want to have the splendor and the glory of God, His truth. You don't find that in President Bush. You don't find that in President Clinton. You don't find that in President Washington, the first president. You find it in Jesus. He is the one that we need to look upon. Spiritual liberty found in truth. But it's also found, spiritual liberty, in a new law. Look in Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Romans chapter 8 and verse 2. Page 665. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Page 665. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. There is a law when we are born in sin, and that's the law that we are born. They make us lie, they make us do wrong, even against ourselves. And Jesus said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Now, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. What is the law of the Spirit? Let's move our Bible to 2 Corinthians 3:17, page 680. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, page 680. Now, the Lord is a Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you see it? The law of the Spirit of Christ is Christ Himself. When you have Christ, the Lord is the Spirit. And when you have Christ in you, then you have total liberty. And the Spirit of God will give you absolute freedom, even in the moments of most terrible chaos in your life. The Spirit of God at least will keep you in control and in hope for something ahead. So it's found in a new law. No, it's not in the dogma of the church. It is not in the confessions of the church. It's in Christ Jesus. Once you have Christ, you have that new law that makes you free. So, spiritual liberty found in truth, found in a new law, found finally, let me reveal to you, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to go way back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 61 verse 1, page 440. All the way back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 61 and verse 1, page 440. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Here's the prophecy. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's the prophecy of Israel. God told Israel, I will send one who will have these qualities. The Lord first has to anoint that person, had to be appointed by God, put the finger in that person, had to be anointed. And then that person will preach the good tidings, the good news to the people who are poor in their heart, who knows that they have no God in their heart. Those who are brokenhearted. And the preaching is that person will do is to proclaim liberty to those who are captive in sin. You know, when you are born, you are captive of your own. Sin will flow through your life as you grow. And as we talked a few Sundays ago, the word sin, singular, is the one that God emphasized. The sin nature. The nature of a sinful individual will come on. I ask many times when I work in different places in America, I say, why do you pay taxes? And they say, well, we pay taxes because the law says, are you not free? You can say, no, I don't pay taxes this year. Oh no, but we are a country of order and we need to pay taxes. And what if you don't pay taxes? You go to jail. And now I said, tell me, why did people cheat and do not pay taxes? Or they cheat when they make the taxes? Well, because they want a little bit more money for themselves. Why they want a little bit more money for themselves? We do not belong to them. Why? And we go on and on. And you know why? It's because we have a sin nature. It's sin nature, do this. It's no good. It's sin nature wants more of selfishness. And so God said here in Isaiah spiritual liberty from your own sin, from your own body, will be found in that person that I will send. Now, who is it? Well, let's turn the Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, page 601. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses from verse 16 to 21, page 601. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, 16 to 21. Here's what the Bible says. So he came, talking about Jesus, to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Verse 17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Listen carefully, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, so far, so good. That's what Jesus did in the synagogue. Now is the critical point, verse 19. Verse 20. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the one who was attending and sat down. And then the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, the scripture is fulfilled in your own hearing. What I read in Isaiah is me. No wonder the Jewish people hate Jesus. They thought he was an imposter. They thought that Jesus took a place of God. And he took the place that belonged only to the Messiah. And that's what Jesus did. See, you cannot be free in the Spirit by good works. You cannot be free. You cannot say, well, I will do this and I will do the other and I will do the other and that will give me freedom of the Spirit. You cannot. You cannot be free by baptism. On July 30, the last Sunday of the month, we will have baptism. And there are some people even flying from the East Coast to be baptized, and some people from the city of San Leandro. But I'm very clear to everybody, and Pastor Thomason is going to speak on the 16th about that in the evening service. The baptism is not the way you get saved. That's why we do not baptize babies. We cannot put a baby into the kingdom of God. God can, but not me. So you cannot be saved by baptism. You cannot be saved by church membership. Some people think, well, if I'm a member of the church, I'm secure and I'm covered and now I am under the umbrella of God's people. Well, if you are a member of a church, you are in good company, I will say. And if you are a member of this church, you're in excellent company. Now you raise the offering for what I said, but it's okay. See what I mean? Some people do that. They don't know and they say, well, if I'm in a church, at least I'm protected. You cannot be protected and have spiritual liberty by being a church member alone. What can I do? Well, it's only Christ that gives you spiritual liberty. And how do I get Christ? Well, let's go in the Bible to John Gospel chapter 20. How can I get that Christ that you are talking about so much about it? That he is the key. In John Gospel chapter 20, verse 31, the very last verse, let me read verse 30 and 31 so you understand what I'm reading. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these books. So the Gospels are not everything Jesus did. It's just a summary. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What do you need to do in order to find Christ is to read this book called the Bible. You need to read it. And you need to read it and read it. And at a given point, I don't know when, God is going to lead you into Christ Jesus. Now you have the big picture. You are you and Christ in front of you. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe it or you're not? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can believe it. Well, I tell you, from 4 years old, my grandma read my Bible in Arabic language all the way to 12. I knew the Old Testament. I knew the Bible. When I came at 12, I said to my father, in an Arab home or in a Jewish home, at 12, you are free as a boy. And now you are with your daddy. And I said, Daddy, I don't like to go to church anymore. And he said, well, now he's a man. At that time, we were only short. Well, we were 12 years old and we only had no long pants, only short. Now change the law. Now I can wear long pants because I'm 12. So I was so glad that day. At 12, I have my long pants. So I do what I want. And my daddy said, he can do what he wants. My mother, he was screaming. But the seed was there for so many years from grandma. Now why then one day I came to believe? I tell you why. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17. That is why I came to believe. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm so glad my grandma read the Bible to me. When I went to a school, in elementary school and high school, it was no problem. They respect creation. But when I went to university, they believe in evolution. And it was not by my grandmother reading the scripture, I will eat that stuff, that poison from the university. You see, you need to respond individually to God. If you turn your Bible again to John Gospel in chapter 8 and in verse 36, the Bible will tell you the clue. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. You want to be free from the junk of your own heart. You want to be free from your own old nature, we say in theology. Yourself. And an only way to be free from yourself is to have Jesus Christ in your heart. Now, if I ask you the question, are you enjoying civil liberties? You will say, all right. You know, with Raquel, we were talking this morning about America, how America changed. I never noticed. No, I came with high qualified from university. As soon as I learned a little English, I would get a job and well pay and so on. But the Navy called me, thank God, and it was fantastic. But you know, we have a hard time to find a place to live. We went in Alameda, California, where the naval base was. And then there was no rental for Spanish people. We were the only Spanish people in the city of Alameda in 1965. And nobody's going to rent. And I thought it was, I don't take it bad. I thought, well, that's the way these people are. I grew up with Germans and they are worse. So I said, there is no problem. Then somebody gave me a room to live. And then, you know, we have more money, and we don't spend money. We came from a country, you don't buy anything you see, so we save as much as we can. We have money to buy a house. And they said, no, you cannot buy a house because you just came to the country. But I had the money. Oh, no, you cannot buy a house. Well, all right, that's fine. I said, what a weird thing this country is. Then I said, all right, I'm going to rent a better condominium. I'm going to get something nice for my family. So we went and I knocked the door of a German fellow, Mr. Goldberg. And we always dress like this, with suit, my wife will dress. We never dress it otherwise. And so he looked at me, he said, you come here to rent? So you have children? I said, yes. How old is the child? It's only 2 years old, going to be three. He said, well, he said, you know, we don't rent here for children. I swear that you don't rent for children? No, we don't rent for children. Oh, all right. Well, I'm sorry. And then I don't know what happened. I say, I'm sorry, and I turn around. He said, wait a minute. My mother, you tell me that your father is a Spanish and an Italian mother. My mother is from Spain. Come upstairs with me. So he wanted to check if I knew Castilian Spanish. So I talk Castilian Spanish with Mama. And Mama said, I like these people. I like to have these people here. He said, look, I get an apartment for you right here. I said, I want it downstairs if possible because I have a little child. So yes, right there. And with a garage for you and everything. Tell me where you work and who you are. And oh, doctors, oh, fantastic. And we got the apartment. We never thought there was discrimination today. I can sue those people for good money. But I never thought about it. See, because we were happy with Christ. We were happy with Christ. We have a church in downtown Oakland. They hold us. They send a translator every Sunday with a car to take us to the church and back. Their pastor gave me their car for me to drive to look for a job. See, I had a family of God so involved in my life. And we don't know when we're in English. I can't speak French. I can't speak this. No. We don't speak German. We don't speak this. Well, what kind of country is this? Only one language? Yeah, only one language. It's, oh, how terrible. Well, you don't need it. You are big. You don't need other like Europe. But I tell you, I never thought for a moment that I was suffering from discrimination until I found a Mexican friend. And the Mexican friend told me, oh, that's discrimination. I said, what is that? You know, he said, that means you are inferior to them. Well, the German told me a long time ago, I'm inferior to them. So what? You don't make any lie. You see, when you have Christ, you are above circumstances. You go through the problems without you knowing. And we survive. So do you have Christ? Listen, who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus a religious leader of 2,000 years ago? Is Jesus a prophet of Israel? Or is Jesus the Son of God? The one who can take your heart and make you new. Now you answer that in your heart. Who is Jesus to you? Because if you have Jesus, you will be above all the circumstances of life. Thank you, Father. Because freedom starts from within. And we see the destruction of our country because we are losing the freedom from within. People are growing up without Jesus. Some of them have religion, but no Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that each one of us who have Jesus may shine and glorify Jesus through our circumstances. Maybe tough, maybe difficult, but Father, you are with us. As when I started this country in 1965, I never knew what is this and what is the other. I just had Jesus and God's people in the city of Auckland. And that was my joy. Oh, Father, reveal yourself and mercy to someone who have not believed in you yet. And his life or her life will change forever. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fills his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound,
such a truthful statement. We're going to have the Lord's Supper being the first Sunday of the month. And I will read for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul recalled where the Lord told him. And this was a challenge. The church, according to not believe this, that Jesus talked to him. But Paul said, I have, in Galatians, he explained that he has a time, 3 years, in Jerusalem, in the desert, in Arabia, where the Lord visited with him. And he said in 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And look at what the Bible said. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. These do in remembrance of me. And then after the same manner, he took the cup, and then he has supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. So the Lord's Supper is not the giving of the body of Christ and the blood, but the remembrance. The remembrance of Christ. And some people said, well, what about that? He said, this is my body. If you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10. In verse 16, the Bible explained what that means. The Bible said, the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion. The cup means the fellowship. You know, the word communion, the fellowship of the blood. And the bread which we break is not the fellowship. The Bible describes it. So the Bible explained, verse, in 1 Corinthians 10:16, what verse 11:23 and 24 said. And so, if you're a Christian, and you belong to any denomination or whatever, that's not the question in this church. We are open. But be sure you're a Christian. Be sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, be sure that you don't think that because you take the bread and take the fruit of the vine, that you're going to have Christ today. You better have Christ already in your heart through the Holy Spirit. This is just a remembrance that our spiritual freedom was gained by the body of the Lord Jesus. So may the deacons come, Brother Victor, Brother Mike, and I forgot the next one is? Yeah, who is the next one? Great. Okay. All right. The deacons may be seated. Again, It is a joy to share with you the Lord's Supper. The plates are going to pass. First the bread. You hold it until the bread comes back to the table. The pastor serves the deacons. The deacons serve the pastor to show you that no one is above anybody. We are the same. All right? And then when the pastor indicated, we all partake together. The deacons may stand. Greg, Pastor Greg, will you tell us, pray for us about how thankful we are of the body of Christ?
Father, we thank you so very much that you have sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. That it was his body that was broken, and it was his body that took upon him our sins and our punishment. And we thank you, Lord, that through his sacrifice, that we can live unto you for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Take it all. The deacons may stand, please. The Lord shed his blood on Calvary Cross, and Brother Victor Laurel will thank the Lord for that.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just do thank you so much, Lord, for sacrificing, Lord, for us, for being a man. We studied this morning, Lord, that you are God. You had no beginning and no end, yet you made yourself a man, Lord, and sacrificed for us. So thank you for this work. Thank you for the shedding of your blood, that our sins might be forgiven, Lord. And we proclaim this good news, Lord, to people, to give them joy, and so that their joy might be full. Amen. And so thank you for this remembrance of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Jesus said, drink ye all of it. The deacons may be seated, please.